You are listening to the Hustle and Glow podcast with Francesca Alexander. Don't you just miss Meetup? I don't know if you're like me, but when I moved over here in New Zealand or even back in Los Angeles, I really, really, really wanted to collaborate and meet people and maybe make new friends, people that were like-minded at meetups and different meetups throughout, you know, the country, really. Wherever I was, I went on Meetup to check out where I was. Now, during this time when no one can actually mingle or meet up, and people, especially here in New Zealand, we are in a serious lockdown, we are still doing meetups, but we're doing it with Zoom. So we're having these great Zoom parties through the Meetup, and my particular meetup is called Hustle and Glow. Hustle and Glow Meetup, and it is located in Oakland. But guess what? If you're in Los Angeles, if you're in Des Moines, Idaho, if you're in Sydney, Australia, you can join us. I'm going to go ahead and give you the link in today's show notes. Please join us for our upcoming new Hustle and Glow Meetup, or Hustle and Glow Network, I think I'm calling it, the Hustle and Glow Network. So here you go, the most imperfect, perfect commercial ever. Come and hang out with us. Hope to see you there. Thank you for coming on in and listening to this podcast, Hustle and Glow. I'm Francesca Alexander, and in this episode, I'm talking about this really cool experience I had with champagne. it could be kind of funny when you just say it like that, but it has to do with how we need to get out of our own way. We need to appreciate and really experience the moment. And of course, being able to achieve and get things that you really want. And this conversation is specifically about sales. So champagne and being a salesperson in retail and what I learned with that in this one cool experience. So here it is, episode 37, My Champagne Story. Hey, how's it going, gorgeous? Reality check. My husband just left for work. It's in the evening. He's doing a night shift. He's in law enforcement, which is interesting in itself at this time. But anyway, he's in government law enforcement, and this is the only time I get to actually talk without interruption. He's like a kid, so he will walk in. Every time I try to start to record something, he walks in. He's like, "Hey, honey, where's my? Hey, do you wanna? I have a question." It's just like always. It's interesting. But anyway, so I wanted to do a podcast on selling. I've had a couple conversations with colleagues and clients alike, not wanting to push and sell this time. Which I understand. There's certainly, you know, selling has to come from a place of authenticity. I also understand that, you know, we're not sure how to approach it this time. I mean, generally, this is always the same, right? You know, here at this time, we're really having that empathetic sort of, oh, I don't want to push my products or services or whatever it is. And this is when you really have to get out of your own way. I'm going to tell you a story that I thought that's always stuck with me and I carried as a salesperson. So a little bit about me. I've done retail sales as well. My last retail job was I was a MAC makeup artist, and it was an Estee Lauder company. So we had things like, hey, every sale has to be a minimum of this amount, and you should sell about 3 units per transaction. That was the goal, okay? So we had to do that all the time, and I used to get in my head about it, like, oh, dude, but what if they just need one thing? I'm not going to force anything more onto them. That's their choice. And I was really in my head about it. And I'm just kind of gonna go back and forth. There was this moment where I had, I'm an entrepreneur. I think I've been let go about two or three times in my career. And one of those times I remember going, and we're gonna go back to the Mac three products for, I think it was like $50 per transaction at the time. But anyway, we'll go back to that in a sec. I had lost my job. I had a good friend of mine that said, you know what, we're going to go out tonight. We're going to go to a bar, a really nice one, and we're going to just have a really good time. This is actually a blessing because you know you hated the job. You didn't like it. And it's like, yeah, you're right. I didn't really like it. And I was looking sort of quietly anyway. This is a really good time for me to sort of decide on what I want to do next. So I go out with her and literally I'm going, oh, I need to stick to budget. And whatever's in my wallet, that's all I'm going to spend. So I have like $15. All right, well, whatever. So we go to this beautiful bar in Pasadena called El Fanayo. It's off Colorado Boulevard. It's everything for me at the time when I was living there. Colorado Boulevard, Boulevard and some other places around the city. You feel like you go in just, it's about, you know, being seen. You know what I mean? Like really mingling, being there, checking out the crowd, the vibe, the whole deal. So I'm in there and the bartender is talking to us like, hey, you know, what do you ladies feel like you're in the mood for? That whole line, right? And I'm like, oh God, how much is Prosecco? I think I have enough for that. And my friend was really into champagne and they had, you know, she was, oh, you know, what are the good choices that are, you know, my friend just lost her job and went, you want to do something kind of big and celebratory. What do you recommend? And he's talking about this glass of champagne that's about $100 per glass. And it really opens up once you drop a strawberry in it. Now, to this day, I don't know what it was. I don't know. I just wanted the experience, right? I just really wanted to go into it. But, you know, I had more of a Prosecco budget. So I said no. And she looked at me and she said, we'll have two glasses of that. Thank you. And he walks away and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? I literally have $15. I don't have any. She's like, watch the experience open up for you right now. I just want to show you something. And this was a while ago. This is before The Secret. This is before anybody knew about Power of Attraction. It definitely wasn't, not anybody. There were, of course, there were some people. It was beyond me. It was really early days. So she says, I have just $20. How are we going to pay for this? Seriously, like I need to pay for rent. I can't tap into that. And she goes around the bar and she tells everybody like, my friend just lost her job. We are celebrating. We've ordered these two glasses of champagne that are calling us $100 each. And depending on these people, she sort of felt out the vibe of these people where they, you know, those guys that had the chip on their shoulder. So he says, so what are you going to do about it? She's sitting over there. She's gorgeous. What are you going to do about it? She needs somebody to pay for this. They give money. And then she'd go next to a couple and she would charm their way. Like, you know, just kind of that sort of oozy charm. It's like, yeah, you know, we really want her to have this great experience tonight. I'm wondering if you would, you know, want to contribute to this experience for her. And she just uses different sort of tonality and verbiage to each person she hit down the bar. Meanwhile, I'm literally like a cartoon character. I'm like, meow. I'm slithering down my bar stool, trying to hide underneath the bar stool. Oh yeah, let me just bend down again, get something out of my purse. When she's talking to people, I'm so embarrassed. Oh, I got to go to the restroom. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. I'm so embarrassed. But the way she did it didn't embarrass me. It was about these group of people, strangers, going in together on an experience that we all had. So now people were also ordering the champagne. And if you've ever been to a restaurant where it's your birthday, the cake or the cupcake or whatever, a slice of cake comes out, and the whole restaurant starts singing for you, you get a little blushy and a little embarrassed. But it's great, right? You feel, well, that was nice of people to do. This was definitely like 100,000 times more than that, because people were buying into my experience, coming up to me going, oh, yeah, I lost a job too. Don't worry. You're like a great person. I can just tell something great's going to come your way. I can feel it. Oh, you know, congratulations on losing your job. Like all of these great sort of affirmations. So now this really nice upscale bar is all unison in one thought, wishing me the best. Holy cow. Now there's two things about this. Again, A, I don't recall the champagne that was $100, but I do remember the feeling around it and the experience that was about it. And I will tell you this, it was probably the best tasting glass, because not only of the other people around it, because other people were also buying the same champagne at the same time to, you know, say salut, cheers, hey, you know, that whole vibe, right? It was really exciting and it was really great, but it was so memorable. And there was two things that came out of it. Was A, the experience, and two, something that the bartender didn't do. And this is what made him really good on the sale, is that he took his head out of the way on if these two girls that just sat down, could they or could they not afford? I don't know. They looked like they could afford it. Any of that nonsense was out of his mind. All he did was share the offering. And he used detailed words to describe the effervescence, the feeling, the taste. I remember him just really going into characteristics of the champagne, how it was crisp and it was really bubble when the bubbles go up your nose, and it opens up more when you drop in a strawberry. And these words stayed with me for such a long time. I mean, telling the story now, this has got to be actually longer than I want to admit, but it was been a long minute, you know what I mean? It was amazing. And that was something that I've taken on to each experience I've had as a salesperson. It's not my job or my business to understand what I can and can't sell to people just by the look of them. And we know, especially in retail sales, we hear about the woman that is homeless that comes in with a brown bag and she needs a fur coat, and she just gets a clump of cash and throws it on the counter going, I'm going to get that one. We don't know what we don't know, right? And I want that to really, really sink in, because we should not be in our way when we're putting an offering together. So going back to that minimum of $50 as a makeup artist and 3 items per transaction, what I did then, even if they were there for like, you know what, I'm just here to pick up my Spice lip liner, or I want to get, this is the 90s, I want to get my Twig lipstick to go with my Spice lip liner, right? So it's like, that's fine. So you're getting that Spice lip liner. Have you ever tried it? What? And this is old. This is so old. This lipstick color I wish was back in stock, but it never will be because they can't mine it again. But Jennifer Aniston used to wear this like crazy. It was called Brave. And I still have an itty bitty tiny itty bitty bit of it. But let me show you what people are using this lip liner with this particular color. And what if I put a little bit of one of the Viva Glam nude lip colors in the center of the bottom of the lip? Great. Did you know that we also have this lip conditioner? And notice it's dry, and I'll give them my little tip, like, you know, with dry lips, especially with lip color, if you go deeper, a darker color, you need to really make sure that your lips are completely exfoliated off the little dead skin. So once you get out of the shower, either get a toothbrush, a wet toothbrush, or if you have a little washcloth or a flannel, you just gently rub your lips with it and you immediately put on one of these lip conditioners on it. You're going to be good. You're not going to feel uncomfortable, and it's really going to hydrate and soften and moisturize your lips. So after all of that, most likely that very smart woman will take more than that spice lip liner. She take on more. And I've always remembered that. And that's always been my philosophy. Even when I was doing marketing and sales and training a team on how to sell really, well, luxury skincare, right? So luxury skincare, a pot of moisturizer can be like $150. But again, getting out of my way, if I just went ahead and sent them a little leaflet or a brochure and a sample for them to experience the entire skincare line for a week, and should they go with it, great. But or if they just got to experience for a whole week with the whole feeling of this hydrated, flawless looking skin with no dead skin on it, just really smooth, and you just feel amazing. Women or people that really desire a change, because for me, the beauty industry is very much about desiring a change, they will come to you. You just have to put the seeds down. So that's one of the examples. And then I've always rolled it into everything I've ever sold, including my services. So I have services. I don't have a particular product, but it still transpires in getting the feelings around taking away the overwhelm, making sure that we go ahead and make systems really easy for you. The client only has to check in on this minimal amount of hours, but it's a collaboration, it's not work. So if you position things in a way where it's favorable and easy for that person, they come to you. So I want you to think about that, especially during this time. There are people that are dropping money because they want a change. They want a quick change. They want to fill a void. They want to move in a direction where they're going to be better for it. And we need to be out of their way. We need to let them choose that. Now, with that said, of course, there's a conversation of making sure that you continuously stay out of your way. And if you catch yourself doing that, you almost have to stop and breathe in and going, all right, what is the best situation, solution, product, or service that will really get this client up and running to where they want their change to be? Offer it and then just drop back and it'll naturally come to you. In fact, a lot of the times when going back to my skincare, high-end skincare days when I worked at those gorgeous spas in West Hollywood and Beverly Hills, those were the clients that not necessarily would go ahead with everything, because it would be like anywhere from a $700 to $1,000 first time purchase. They remember the way they feel around you. They remember your product knowledge. They remember you calling out the features and benefits to each and every product or service. And by the way, the spa was kind of both. It was like, here's your products, very much like a hairdresser, right? You go, you get your hairdresser done, you might get a treatment, you go to pay it. And they're like, hey, if they're good at what they do, these are the things that we used on your hair today. Here's your shampoo, here's your conditioner, here's your treatment. And you know how you really like that brush and the way it really helped with just blow drying you out? Here is that boar bristle brush that we use. All of that. Do you see what I'm saying? It's really about just putting it in front of them. They'll remember, whatever it is they can get, they will get. If not, win them over all completely in one thing, which is often the case. When people come in for a change, they will grab it because they want it. If they're speaking to you at any time about your product or your service, they're there seeking. don't get in the way of a seeker. Talk about everything about them. Know and give them the guidance of what is for the, what's the best thing for them to go with next. And then just step back. A lot of the other bit I want to tell you about is that sometimes it doesn't happen all together at once. Or maybe they even walk away and they'll take the samples and they're like, cool, thank you so much. I will try it and I'll let you know how it is. Awesome. So the key is the follow-up. And don't be afraid to follow up. Hey, I'm checking in with you. I know that I sent you a couple of those samples. I want to see how your skin is doing. What did you feel about that? And if it's a message you're leaving, leave it there. But you're totally interested in how their feedback was. While you're having a consultation, you're talking to somebody. My trick is, and this is back to my retail days, I used to get these little index cards and client cards, and we would write down, I'd write down little things on the back of it, like has a kid, going through a divorce, all of that type of stuff. And usually I would start to formulate, all right, how do I find the needs of this client and make sure that I rise up to meet her? That's a big deal. So then when I went on, okay, take that away from having that one-on-one person interaction and now go on the phone and go on the internet. And it could be daunting, but no, now you just have to pitch it where you're asking the right questions. One of the questions I would do when I was selling skincare over the phone, which is interesting because I worked at the spa and clinic and I got to see people come in at the same time. I also took in phone calls to find out how people wanted to use this product that they just read in People magazine. Okay, so if there's one thing that you can change about your skin, what is it? And that was the only question I would ask. And then you would start to hear, oh, well, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm going through a divorce. I'm drinking a little bit more than I should. I'm not eating as regularly. My skin looks ruddy and I just look old. Okay, so as a skin expert, I know that her skin is dry. She's probably hasn't exfoliated in a while, so she has a lot of dead skin debris. She may have breakouts in where the jawline is, because that's where our stress is at. So you ask a lot of open-ended questions, okay? And tell me about when you say ruddiness, what does that feel like and look like to you? You're using those descriptors. And the same thing is when you're talking to a client. So as you may or may know, I have a social media agency here. And it's also online and it's here local in Oakland. So the questions that I ask my clients are, what are the things that prevent you from doing social media regularly? And then we get into the whole like, oh, I don't have time. And it's almost like a rabbit hole. You learn one thing and you don't know how to do the next. And there's a lot of, in that whole space, it's like, they don't know what they don't know. They don't know if they're wasting your time. How do you get that ROI? What's the conversion like? Is this actually move the needle at all? I'm there to inform and show them what is the right process for them and how to stand out regularly online through social media. And here are the elements that we do it. I also show them, whether it's an online consultation or we're doing a one-on-one in a coffee shop, I will show them on my iPad or on the screen, hey, this is the process. If we give you a personalized dashboard, you're able to actually approve all of the content up front and the image. Once we do that, we start to deploy it. And once we deploy it and we get that first sign off, we also make an Insta story, a Facebook story with that same elements of content in written and in imagery. And so we schedule that anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks down the road. So it's always in people's peripheral and they always see you coming up and you're always front of mind when you're on social media, especially with people that engage you there. You know what I mean? I can talk to any sort of offering, and I've worked for every sort of industry, every sort of client that you could imagine. I've worked with dentists. I worked with a phone app company. I've worked with everything and anything from medical to clinical to even at some point I did work for different types of I'm trying to say this correctly, not to be too general, but different types of practices in law where they're very definitive on what they can claim and can't claim. And a lot of times, anything that is a product consuming product, you have to be the same thing. You have to make sure that you're saying everything right. I mean, I've done it all. I've done all that type of products and offering, but have a really good grasp on what works, how do you pull people in, and how to let them make that decision for themselves. So I just wanted to really tell you my champagne story because I think it's valuable. There's two things that I pull away from it. And one is to never, ever stand in the way of a really good experience. Let people choose their experience. And two, understand the value of features and benefits of everything that you sell and that you're offering. It's actually very good for that person to decide if they want to do it themselves. We need to get out of their way and let them enjoy the experience. That's it for me. This is Francesca, and thank you so much again for listening and tuning into Hustle and Glow podcast. So still excited about it. Hey, do me a favor. If you like this podcast, please, not review it. It is, rate, review, and subscribe. Subscribe to it. The more I get people just like you to rate it and review it, I can attract people just like you and to listen in, and hopefully I can inspire and get people in that would really be interested in this type of content. So thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next podcast. This is a time to be seen, known, and heard, even if your business is taking a hiatus. No matter what type of business you own, this is the opportunity to get discovered by potential customers and gain new leads by using the power of social media. Social Collab was designed for you in mind to help you understand and determine how to use social media for your business. This is not just another masterclass or online training. We take you on a personal business coaching process. And I designed your marketing dashboard that you can roll out into your business. To find out more, go to hustleandglow.com.